Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to elders past and present and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Follow us on Instagram at Gays Revolting Pod, Twitter at Gays Revolting, or join our Facebook group at The Gays Are Revolting.
Support our show and listen to weekly bonus chats by becoming a patron at patreon.com/gaysrevoltingpod. Hello, everyone.
Hey,
2020,
the roaring 20s.
I was worried. I was nervous coming back. I
forgot how to do it.
Yeah, but then instantly I thought of a very nasty thing to say about you guys.
Please.
Oh, yeah.
Within 2 seconds, and I'm like, I'm back in the game.
Please give it to us.
Yeah, I thought, I was sitting here and I thought, somebody better call emergency because I see 3 zeros.
That is good.
That's good.
I like that.
What did you steal that off?
Thank you, guys.
Tom's going to use it in his live stream.
Yeah.
Tickets are available at midsummer.org.
That's great.
Are we all well? Did you have a good break?
Yeah, super relaxing.
What did you get up to?
I finished 2 video games.
Did you really?
Yeah, Pokemon and Star Wars. Yeah, it was great. Good times.
Tom and I actually spent Christmas together.
We did spend Christmas together.
I was kind of sad.
Bailed on Christmas picnic.
Picking and choosing.
The divides are beginning.
And I think we ended up doing karaoke. We did Baby It's Cold Outside at karaoke.
The most...
rapey song.
The most rapey Christmas song you could possibly do. Dear. My favorite bit was they were doing like Christmas karaoke.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, Charlie Baby, and a friend of yours, Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow decided, we're going to do a duet.
Yeah. And it's like the bariest bear and the twinkiest twink that you've ever met.
Yeah. And so they decided, we're going to do A Whole New World.
From Aladdin.
In this bizarre key. Christian is like a baritone.
Christian's like a professional opera singer, like Opera Australia performer.
Professional baritone opera singer playing Jasmine.
Yeah.
Charlie Baby's this...
Every moment, red letter.
Charlie's this Disney twink doing Aladdin.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Pale as snow.
And it was actually perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
It was the best Christmas.
It was the
Christmas present I didn't know I needed.
Mm.
I was stranded speaking of Christmas presents, my parents got me a Fitbit.
Okay,
which was bold.
Offensive and kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never really expressed any interest in exercise, but like, obviously they still felt that I needed it. So that's nice.
They're going to see like Friday and Saturday night spikes in your heart rate.
Well, so I haven't really worked out all the stuff it does. I mainly just wear it because it saves me having to pull my phone out of my pocket to tell the time. Mm. But it does count all your steps and it beeps at you if you haven't done enough steps every hour. My housemate's worked that out. And every time he hears it beeping, he just yells out, "Fatty!" which is lovely. So when I was coming down after New Year's Eve and I was like on the couch for 3 days, I just strapped it to my dog's, my miniature dash hound.
You cheated it.
It's around about the same time as my, it's the same size as my wrist. So I just put it around my dog's neck and let him run around the house. But then it started making this like whooping thing. And my housemate came running out. So I took it off the dog and it said, seek medical attention. Because apparently,
because you're a dog,
dash hounds have a faster heart rate than human beings.
I've heard of people attaching them to like fans and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, just do the exercise and don't have the watch.
I think the iPhone does this one goes off heart rate or something like that. I'm not sure. Anyway. But yes, nice. I did wear it out on New Year's Eve. I know I got a lot of steps in on New Year's Eve. I can tell you that.
It's like a Lindsay Lohan kind of like so ankle bracelet.
It's so ridiculous. It's because I don't do any exercise. It's basically just like a pretentious waste of space.
I bet it thinks
that reminds me how fat I am every hour. Like I bet my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. I bet it thinks you go on a lot of jogs in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I can't be available to you every hour
to
on
tell
the
me
hour.
How fat I am.
Like, move, do it now.
We had a lovely Christmas, Josh and I. We
back in Australia.
Yeah, back in Australia. We house sat for Josh's sister, and she has this gorgeous, like, three-bedroom house in Reservoir. And she was just like, oh, we have to leave one of the dogs here. We need someone to house it. And we were just like, we'll house it. We're homeless at the moment.
Smart decision.
My Christmas was very quiet. We went to the country again, but Duncan thought it was funny to give his dad Cards Against Humanity and then to play with his parents.
All right.
And, like... I was like, I don't feel comfortable. I pulled a lot of punches because I was like, I'm not going to make your mom say this. Ty, however, didn't have the same view. He made Duncan's mom, this sweet little lady, say, my neck, my back, my pussy, and my crack. I wanted to die.
Oh.
But yeah. You know.
What do we all do for New Year's?
That was quite the scandal.
I didn't have set plans, but then I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the widest place I can think of and be the brownest person. Second widest place I could think of, which was Circuit. And so I just went out in like this ridiculous basic white, basic bitches, mesh tee. And then got a barrage of like horrendous text messages from people. Telling me that, like, I'm a drunken mess or something. But I was, like, really sober evening. But no, it was a nice night. Circuit was fun. They did a little countdown and they got in Dua Lipa's. So I live.
I went for a nice house party at my dear close personal friend Joel Creasy's house. And I intended on going, waiting for midnight and going home and just having a very nice
And how did that go for you?
Ended up at Poof Doof till it closed and then invited whoever was left at Poof Doof back to my house for kick-ons.
Oh my gosh.
Which went till, I don't know, 6 p.m. on New Year's Day or something.
How are you here right now?
And then well, that's why I'd have a couple of days in the house with my Fitbit attached to the dog. I actually had a ticket for Closet for New Year's Day, but I was just too.
This is the thing. I was at Closet. And my friend came up to me and was like, I've just been at Thomas Jasper's house.
Oh my God.
He was cooked off of his tits.
I was wearing, I have this tutu.
Of course you
don't ask, but I have this tutu that I forgot that I had.
Is that
like
the one you showed me the other
night? Yeah.
And you wear that?
Gorgeous.
And I was, and for some reason decided to put it on cooked. And then I'm like making people drinks. And I like made sausage rolls and pies in a fucking tutu. And I'm walking around handing them around to randoms at my
house. Next time I come over, can you please make me a drink wearing a tutu?
I pulled this poor guy aside. I was like, you've been with Tom for how long?
It was hours.
Oh, it's insane.
Well, we had a very civilized night.
We just went to a friend's place in Collingwood and we had wine and cheese and then there was a plate of Coke going around. So it was a fantastic, civilized night. Everybody ended up leaving at like 2 a.m. And so Josh and I decided to go to sleep and ended up just crying for like two hours. No, I think I was just like that out of my mind and like overwhelmed being home and just being like,
it's life adjustment. It's hard.
Like, yeah. Like, I've been going through the biggest adjustment recently, and I sort of only just realized within the last week that I'm actually depressed. Yeah. And I was just like, that's what's happening to me right now. And then, like, Josh was saying to me, he's like, this is really, really normal after coming home.
Absolutely. It was such a long trip,
like,
too.
You could almost call it where you're coming
in the pits
of life.
You know? And there's an adjustment period whenever you go through like a peak. And it's the same thing when you like go out, you know, and have like a great night with your mates. You have a coming.
Well, that's usually chemical related. Yeah, but
there's also an emotional coming down period, and you were gone for so long in like an elevated state for so long that your whole body needs to mentally and physically readjust.
We can rebuild.
Exactly right. We can rebuild this.
I have some exciting news over the new year. It's finally happened, but
JB and I are now living together.
Oh my god!
For like the past month, we've been co-inhabiting.
Yeah.
Which has been incredible.
So is it just the both of you together? Is there someone?
JB, his partner Raven, who's a beautiful moon goddess.
Yeah,
and myself. Yeah, we're raising turtle together.
Oh, a turtle.
So cute. Yes.
That's so cute.
What's
the turtle's name?
Friedberger.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm their surrogate brown son that they take out occasionally.
Snuck in your cage.
At 3 a.m. But we had this amazing, like, speaking of coke and drugs, and we had this amazing night where, well, it was only JB and I that did a bunch of K and then decided to go to the local cinema and see Cats.
Oh,
yeah.
The musical. It was very hard for me to distinguish when the K actually wore off. Because I had no idea when it was K for Cats. Absolutely. It was like, I had no idea what happened when that film started.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I kind of want, I have morbid curiosity.
I'm still not even sure if it's finished.
Yeah. Do we look like cats? You're just in a room with like three cats right now.
The amount of people that I've heard of going to see this movie on drugs is insane. Drugs. I got invited to a thing where some friends had booked out a cinema and they're all getting really stoned beforehand to then go and watch, like they're going to go smoke all these joints outside the cinema and then run in as the movie was starting.
Okay. Sounds fun.
I tell you what, if there was like a, I know we probably all stayed up to watch the Oscar noms, but if there
I just watched the Ricky Gervais thing. That was funny.
If there was a nomination for like best film adaptation of being stuck in a K-hole, probably put Cats as the forerunning. Yeah. There's this real like bizarre, intense spoiler alert, but very intense moment just 3/4 into the film where Dame Judi Dench breaks the fourth wall and just starts talking directly into the camera.
Yeah. You're like looking behind you. Like,
in extreme close-up in some of the most horrific cat CGI.
Yeah, how uncomfortable.
It was like...
To be fair, at this stage, I don't think Dame Judi knows where she is or what she's
doing. She said the character's trans, by the way.
Yeah. What?
But it was like invasive. That film was invasive on a personal...
Okay.
Deeply rebel.
I'm so excited to see it.
Upsetting.
Can we get it on like DVD and watch it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not going to bother seeing it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't give you money for that.
This should be one of those shows where we just watch the same film each week and talk about it.
That's
a part of Cats. Because I didn't understand your friend that was there at Christmas who was obsessed with Cats.
Well, he was obsessed with it because he hated it. Obsessed with it in the same way that like we love trashy TV and that sort of stuff.
Mm. Okay, we're starting a new spin-off podcast, Revolting Reviews.
Yeah.
The Cats are revolting.
The Cats are revolting. K for Cats.
K for Cats. So that was my holidays.
Oh. Beautiful.
Unfortunately for me, there's no rest for the clinically depressed. And so we didn't officially close over that period. So we just had like the public holidays off.
Yeah.
But I like kind of deep dived into it. Because at the moment, I'm like really passionate about the social unrest and like the general kind of sense of dread that is pervading through our society and how that affects individuals on a like day-to-day basis. And I think being at work through December to January, like up until sitting right here, it's a real fucking eye-opener, sis. That's the T, sis.
Y'all wanted a twist.
Is people were upset out there, y'all.
Well, we are going to be talking a bit about the bushfires and a few other sort of general things that have happened over the last couple of months and while we've been on break in our Patreon episode, which is our little after show. Mm-hmm. For those of you that want to, you know, support the podcast, you can sign up at patreon.com/gazerevoltingpod for $6 American dollars a month. You can get a little after show after every episode. We were going to be joined by the wonderful Harriet Shing, who's, of course, the Labour member for Gippsland.
We've
had her on before. Fantastic. Friend of the podcast. Unfortunately, she is stuck in East Gippsland dealing with the bushfires at the moment as we speak, so she's had to cancel on this episode. But we have some other stuff to talk about, but we will hopefully have her on soon, and she's going to give us a bit of an update and an insight into what it's like over there at the moment.
It's a big topic, and so we're going to get a
sure.
Professional
view. He's been right in the grassroots dealing with it all, yeah.
Speaking of the bushfires, we did decide to donate ticket sales from our two shows to the bushfires for, I think, 48 hours.
Yeah.
And we've actually managed to raise over $1,000. So that's really good.
Yeah, thanks
thank
to everyone
you,
buy,
thank you so much
to
everyone who's bought a ticket to that.
48-hour period.
And sales, so not profits.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the thing.
And if you still want to come... And although we have stopped donating the sales, but if you still want to come to the live shows, you can come along. We are performing at the Midsummer Festival, February 7th. You can get tickets at midsummer.org.au. And we're performing up in Sydney for Mardi Gras Festival on Friday the 28th of February. And tickets for that one are at mardigras.com.au. Yeah.
Get them.
Yeah.
Some lady, yo, the other day, I was copping a ciggy at the front of Fairfield Station. And some lady gave me a real nasty look.
Stop. Why?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Because of the P2 masks, etc.
Oh, right, I said,
you know what, lady? We've contributed over $1,000 to bushfire. You know what? That's the tea, sis. And I was at Ruby Slipper's show, and I slipped at least $30 into her garden belt for the Wildlife Foundation. What are you doing?
You can smoke all you like.
What are you doing, lady? That's how I feel about it. So there's been some distressing news in the LGBT community. I just wanted to start off with a content warning. In our next segment, we will be talking about mental health and suicide. And so anyone that is feeling at risk or knows someone who may be at risk, that there are services available. And Lifeline number is 131114. If you're looking for an LGBTQIA+ specific service, QLife is great on 1800 184 527. And they're available 3 p.m. till midnight every day of the week. This was something that I think everyone's seen either via print media, social media, Twitter, Facebook, or our social groups, but a tragic event nonetheless. We're talking about the recent passing of Wilson Gavin, who was a member of our LGBT community, but quite a controversial figure as well. So, and it, like my first impression of Wilson was seeing that video when it went viral. Yeah. It was actually an event funded, I think, by the Brisbane Council, which is kind of progressive in a strange way.
That's it.
Many of you may not.
The Brisbane Council, like,
work.
Like, what? Get it, Brisbane.
Like, get it.
There are these events where drag queens essentially read picture books to children.
Which is such a nice, wholesome thing.
I think it's great. It kind of, it's in the same realm of dress up and party time.
Yeah, like,
for
how
children.
Exciting.
It isn't sexualized, and it just promotes diversity and acceptance. Now, Wilson was also the president of the University of Queensland's Liberal National Club.
And it was quite confronting, the protest too. They came in stood right up in the performers' faces and were chanting.
It was disgusting.
Like,
it was confronting to watch. Reports were saying that even the children there were asking, what's going on?
Yeah.
The kids there didn't understand, why are these people screaming at the story time lady? Mm. It was quite a display. Now, I think a lot of the online hatred was focused specifically on Wilson because of his controversial history within the LGBT community.
Yeah, he also features heavily in the video as
and
well.
And he is kind of the first thing you see in the video. He's right up front in the performer's face. And one of the last things you see in the video as well. So I think a lot of the online discourse was specifically focusing him as well as... an introduction to his political views, which were unlike a lot of, you know, the bubble that we record in. He was quite openly anti-gay marriage.
I saw in the comment section of that video, there were a lot of people identifying people in the video and listing their personal accounts and Facebooks and stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were named. By far, his name was the most
prominent.
Well, he is
the leader of the group that was protesting it. So, yeah, it makes sense. Absolutely.
And he's made media appearances before, in the past.
Yeah, because he was part of the No campaign.
He was,
Was he?
Yes. Jesus. So he was part of the No
campaign. So he ran a Gays Against Marriage Equality group that were campaigning.
Yeah, I think he appeared
campaign,
on TV
a
few times.
He did,
Also a staunch monarchist.
Yes, he is.
Also, we know one of those.
But unfortunately, it was the very next day a news report started to come through. Traffic was so huge on that Q News.
Yeah, it was, website was crashing.
The website was crashing that he had taken his own life. Mm. I remember not being able to think straight to see that someone who I had such venom and hate for or such strong feelings for was suddenly no longer with us and then felt a huge wave of empathy but at the same time, and I'm sorry to get like a little carried away, I felt sick to my stomach because I immediately knew that this had happened within 24 hours of the drag protest. That I knew within 24 hours of that this man's passing would be weaponized and used against us and our community, or used as a political tool within 24 hours of
which is so
his
sad.
Own passing. And it's happened. Mm. The reports, I think The Australian ran it as like a front news page story the very next day, criticizing the nature of PC culture, blaming keyboard warriors and cancel culture, completely ignoring the hypocrisy of the fact that they've run many hateful, aggressive, hurtful campaigns against this very same community, which has had the exact same effect on the mental
space. I must say,
space.
I mean, this might be controversial, but like, I was like, fine, I don't care. Like,
really?
Like, a homophobe, like, we get attacked so much in our lives. If a homophobe drops dead, like, why should I care? And then I found out that he was actually, in fact, gay. And it just like hit me like this wave. And I was like, this complicates everything so much. And then it made me question myself because I was like, I'm only feeling empathy now because he's gay.
It's a lot to unpack there. Mm-hmm. But the thought of rejoicing in anyone's death to me is it doesn't sit well. I'm not having
I wasn't rejoicing. I was indifferent.
If you're indifferent to anyone's death, to me, that's a disturbing thing.
And maybe that disturbed me as well.
Reflective of this internet culture that we have, where we're talking about, I wish this person was dead and I wish this person would kill themselves and that sort of stuff. Yeah. We see this stuff online all the time. The whole thing is just so awful. I mean, when you look at what drag queen story time is, it's actually not a huge thing. It started, I think, in San Fran and it's sort of growing around, but it's really just a library initiative to do two things. Yeah. And one is to sort of, for families that want to attend it, let the kids familiarize themselves a little bit with queer culture, but it's really also mainly about getting kids to read. So it's not, it's not, you know, all these right wing people are saying, oh, they're sexualizing children.
They're not coming out in a bikini.
They're not like, even that. They're not like coming out and fucking douching and
coming out and reading transcripts of our podcast.
No, exactly. Yeah.
They're doing Thomas the
Shut
Tank
it down.
Exactly. So when we look at what it actually is, it's a very small thing that happens at certain libraries around the world, and you know that there's maybe 20 kids in attendance, and it's not compulsory, and it's if you want to take your kids, so none of the kids there are forced to go to it.
Yeah, obviously all the parents are in support.
I've chosen to take it them there. Yeah, so that's the first thing to think about. But it's become a very symbolic thing for the extreme right to protest it. And the other thing to remember is this faction of this group, the University of Queensland Liberal National Club, were actually disendorsed by the LNP, LNP in December last year, because they are so far right wing and so radical and so extreme.
Yeah.
So then we've got to think about this poor individual that's in the middle of all of this, and who is openly gay, but also leading
a conservative
incredibly conservative group that is anti-marriage equality, that is anti-families wanting to take their own kids to an event that is a public event that they're allowed to take their kids to. And you've got to think about how that person's mental health is. Now, he obviously had cut himself off from the wider LGBTI community for his own reasons and that sort of thing, and that's heartbreaking. And unfortunately, he didn't have the people around him that could have perhaps helped him. But to me, the sad and bitter and tragic irony of the whole situation is the very thing he's protesting has been established and things like Safe Schools to help people not growing up hating themselves and then hating everyone that they identify with, because you can't control being gay. I don't believe that people can teach you to be gay or that your surroundings teach you to be gay. But your other opinions and your political views and beliefs can be influenced by the people around you. So imagine
turmoil that he would have gone through, having been taught these political beliefs, but then having this identity and believing that the two
and
things
clashing in the constant conflict.
But that was the thing that like really pissed me off. This guy is coming into this safe space to cause chaos where there are children around, where the Queensland government have okayed this to make it more comfortable for queer people, and just to put it out there for children that are questioning their identity whatsoever in a non-sexual way. Like, you're being so aggressive about this. Like, how dare you come into this space and cause such disruption? And then when that happened, I was just like, holy fuck. Like, there was so much more underlying to this for you personally, that there is so much homophobia because you are the head of this conservative group, that your worlds are clashing so harshly that you just didn't know. You couldn't see any way out whatsoever, which is really, really fucking sad.
And I think... Sorry, not to jump. It's something I'm, like, super uncomfortable, especially seeing online. And something that I think we all really need to be mindful about is creating narratives around someone who we didn't personally know, and especially someone that's passed. Because I think there has been... Now that a few days have passed, a recontextualizing of this tragedy into a context that makes it easier for us as LGBT individuals to understand and grasp. I understand that on an individual, like, internal basis, but I think as a platform, when we're speaking, we have to be really respectful that we don't know this individual. We have no fucking clue if he had any... internalized homophobia. We don't have fucking any idea what his support network was. The only person that will know that was him, and we can only like suggest these things.
I mean, we're just speculating, we're having a discussion, speculate. That's what we do,
but we have a very big platform, and I think it's very important that we're responsible and say that we have no idea personally about this individual and what they were going through. But trying to like contextualize and and give a narrative.
Well, yeah, I think the, yeah, I agree with 99% of what you're saying, but I think it is important to point out that people like George Christensen and some and other right-wing media outlets and political personalities, and George Christensen's a really good example. So he's a right-wing politician, deleted his Twitter profile and said that Twitter is broken, and is, and specifically said suicide happens when Twitter keyboard warriors pile on an individual for political protests. And I think that's wrong. I don't think people kill themselves because of... something bad happening on social media, or because they're getting picked on at school, whatever. I think people kill themselves because they have mental health issues, and I don't want to diagnose somebody that I've never met when I don't have the qualifications to do it in the first place anyway. But I think anybody that is hating on another section of the community has mental health problems. That's a fair general comment to say, and especially when it's another part of the a community that they are part of. I think that's
fair
thing
to say.
If you're
not believing in rights that benefit yourself,
well,
something
I mean, like, anyone, I think genuinely anyone that denies rights of other human beings has mental health issues on a broad basic level. There is issues with how your mind works. If you, if that's what you believe, that certain people deserve things and other people don't. So then to have those, if you're able to put those beliefs onto other people within your own community, I think that that's going to probably amplify those beliefs. And again, I'm not specifically talking about him, but I think it's fair to say that generally as anyone. So I don't think people kill themselves because a Twitter pile on happens. That might be a catalyst, but that's
underlying
probably
issues,
a result of something that's been happening for years and years and years. And look, let's be honest. Let's talk about this specific incident. He didn't go in there with cameras and a whole bunch of his mates, not expecting to get attention out of it, and not and being a far right, extreme right politician that's been kicked out of his own party. He's not expecting that people aren't going to get angry at him. So so the Twitter pylon, it was sort of what he was expecting and probably hoping for, because it starts a conversation around something that he wanted to talk about. That's not what killed him. What killed him was being let down, some serious mental health issues that weren't being addressed, and he wasn't, and sadly wasn't supported by the people he needed. And now what we need to do is look at
that
when we have
privy
these...
to.
Yes, exactly, that we're not privy to. We have no idea what they are.
We have no
There's obviously an underlying long-term... history there. So what we need to be doing now, if we want to learn something from this awful, tragic situation, let's look at the other people in that video. Are they okay? Are the other are the drag queens okay? Are the kids okay? Are the other protesters okay?
I would,
everyone in that situation is fucked. Everyone that's reading about the situation, are they okay?
I would like to say one of the nicer things from this awful, awful, horrible situation is seeing how our community is actually responding to it.
Mm. Yeah.
From mostly everything I've seen online, people are being very compassionate and they're not being like, good, like he deserved or whatever. Nothing that I'm seeing. Even the drag queen themselves who he was like all these people were attacking, they were like even very compassionate themselves and posted stuff on social media. So it is really refreshing to see that and to see our community kind of rally behind this and still not let something like this get them down.
Another interesting element that I was reading about, which pricked my ears up, was that he was Catholic. And whilst I 100% believe in the right of anybody to choose whatever religion they want to follow, having gone, he was only 21 years old, and having gone through the Catholic education system, as a gay man, I can tell you that fucks you up. Like that is, as I said, like I believe anyone that wants to believe in stuff, good on you, go for it. But if I had kids, there is absolutely no way I would put them through the Catholic education system because of how, and not just for queer people, but anyone that doesn't fit a particular mold, it can really play on your mind and really damage how your mind works for years and years and years.
Something that also really upsets me is that he was so young. Like, I mean, if this is coming from an old white boomer guy, like someone who's really set in their ways, like he still had time to like kind of change his views and like learn and like grow. Like, I don't know if our community was there for him more.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you just don't
know.
But
the thing is, we can't be saying that it would be okay if an old white right.
I'm just saying, but like it is especially sad because he was so young and he could have still.
He hadn't, like, I guess, had that chance or time to be exposed to like a wider LGBTQIA plus community.
We don't know that.
Well, that's
either.
The other thing either. We don't know that either. He may have.
I ultimately feel like I think this topic is a great way to discuss mental health practices and your security nets, but I ultimately feel super uncomfortable trying to guesswork what exposure
Well, we're just having a discussion.
Had.
I mean, it's a topic.
Because it's a person. At the end of the day, it's a person who we don't know, who has a family. You know, like, these are just people, and we have no idea of the actual context. And I've seen online a scrambling to give this a narrative and a way for it to make sense. Yeah, that he really hated himself, or the big one is, I really wish he was able to meet the part of the community that I'm a part of that accepted me, because if he had, well, then obviously he wouldn't have been dead. But no one fucking knows that. I've met that community. I'm a part of that community. I still got very close to it 3 weeks ago. And what about if someone tweeted that about me saying, oh, well, maybe if he spent more time at Molly's? Like, it's just... Yeah. It's so irresponsible to discuss. And the only, I'm sorry I'm getting passionate about this, but there's a lot of tweets too. Whenever, look up online, there are safe ways to discuss suicide, self-harm, and mental health.
I think it's fair to say,
I'm not finished yet. Okay. When you were chucking tweets out about someone who's taken their life at a very sensitive time of year, January is like insane. From like the security and a place of safety, there are responsible ways to talk if you have a certain platform. And I saw a lot of blue tick accounts on Twitter chucking their 2 cents in on this thing without a content warning for one, and two, without any links to any support, and flicking through my timeline on the train home because I felt so sick about this. And seeing like 20 stories about suicide when I'm like still healing and not having any content warnings on any of it is so fucking irresponsible that we all need to do a better job about of how we discuss these issues, the language that we use, and the respect that we pay to the people that we've lost and the people that are currently at risk.
Well, I think that it's you know, saying things like why didn't he find Molly's is not helpful or anything like that. But I think it's fair to say, as a general thing, it's a shame that he didn't find happiness within the community. I think that's a blaringly obvious thing that's come out of this. A lot of us do manage to find our little niche within the community, and it's such a broad spectrum when we talk about the community. It's and I think it would be very difficult for people to not find their own little niche within it. And I think that's a fair thing to say. But yes, you're right. Speaking specifically about what, you know, I wish I'd met him, or I wish he'd come to this event, or that something like that. Yeah, that's not helpful at all.
It's not helpful. Yeah. And I think finding happiness within yourself is the important thing here. Yeah. I came home and I said, I was so, so mad at this individual. Mm. Violence and anger, and sorry, yeah. I saw Star Wars the other week. Violence and anger will yeah. only lead to further violence and anger.
Mm. Yeah.
And the buck will stop on someone.
Mm.
That's all it leads to. And that's the fucked thing about this. If you have hatred and if you have anger and you direct it outwards, the buck is going to stop yeah. somewhere and someone's going to get hurt.
Mm. Yeah.
That's classic. That's life.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I get into work at 7 o'clock yeah. in the mornings now, and I'm getting phone calls at 7
yeah.
from people who feel unsafe. And that's been like a daily occurrence because mm. January right now,
yeah.
it's like you're coming off of Christmas, New Year's. It's not a safe time for people in our community. Mm, yeah. And we need to be really loving and caring of one another
mm.
mm-hmm. all the time, whether we like them, agree with them or not. It's just like such an awful time of year for yeah. so many people. And it broke my heart the other day. Like,
yeah.
just like ripped me to shreds. This person will no longer just be a person.
Yeah.
He will no longer just be
like a martyr,
a person. He will be a political martyr or a figure or a Twitter PC culture kind of point that we bring up in 5 years' time yeah. when we're, you know, still sitting around this table, hopefully, talking about how androids can maybe be gay. You know?
Yeah.
But, like, that just breaks my fucking heart, and I'm yeah. sorry, guys. I just, like, it's a tough time of year.
Mm.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I want to talk a bit about outing, coming out, the whole process.
Going
outing? Yeah,
we're going
to where are we?
Where?
Going? Mary Poppins Sydney. Style. Yeah,
yeah.
Outing as a general thing, sort of like coming out ourselves, but also helping other people come out. And I'm interested to know: have you guys ever helped someone come out? Have you ever accidentally outed someone?
Is it outing if you're helping? Because outing seems like you are just telling. Yeah, it seems aggressive.
Yeah, I don't know what a general term, general. Yeah. Just the whole coming out experience. Uh-huh.
Coming out is so funny to me. In my younger years, I was quite forceful about it. Mm. You know, if people were messaging me and we were hooking up and they'd disclose, I'm not out to my certain family members or whatever. And I'd be like, you got to do it.
Do it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, it's kind of like that thing, like, when you start watching a new Netflix show and you think it's incredible.
What episode of outing are you on?
Yeah. And you're like, you have to watch it. It's amazing. And you have, like, no respect that that person probably has 50 other. Like, it's such an individual journey for
I mean, I feel like
person.
It's okay to be nice and, like, encouraging. Because, like, obviously, like, sharing that you've had maybe a good experience or, like, just kind of expressing that relief after coming out. So I think that's nice. But not getting, like, too far and pushing.
I had the boot in the back. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But I realize, like, people don't like that.
Yeah.
And it's really disrespectful to, like...
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? The coming out thing. And we've talked about it before, about a lot of people have this mindset that you come out and that's it. And we've talked about how you actually... You come out 10 times a day.
Oh, totally.
In minor ways and major
ways. Came out to my Uber driver.
Exactly. You know, there's these different ways that we come out constantly for the rest of our lives. For me, having worked and lived on the gay scene for so long, it blows my mind that there are people that are quite happy to live a life where they are out to certain people, but not out to others. Other people.
Yeah. My last two boyfriends before Duncan, both came out to their parents while I was with them.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, like, I had no encouragement from me. I mean, it I mean, I feel like his mom hated me for it because I was the one that turned him.
I did. Yeah, you're right. Like, you don't want to force someone to come out, but I do think it's also important to say to them, look, the stuff that's in your mind, it's sort of like having sex for the first time. In your mind, losing your virginity is such a big, scary thing, and it's going to be perfect. You're going to do it the right way. And at the end of the day, it is not going to be good. It's going to be messy. There's going to be tears. It's going to be uncomfortable. You don't really want your dad there. Yeah. It's very similar to having sex for the first
time. In some cultures, no.
So you sort of do want to say to people that haven't that are nervous about it, look, it's actually fine. Like, once you do it, it's fine.
One of my best friends back in Brisbane, her, in the last 2 years, maybe, she told me that her younger brother came out to her. And it was so kind of cool for me because I would like to think that her having, like, a gay best friend helped him feel comfortable enough to know that she was cool with it.
Yeah.
So it was nice. And then, like, it felt kind of nice to give lots of advice to her on how to be around someone coming out. And I was like, just be really encouraging. Don't force him to tell your mom. Mm. Like, that just kind of stuff. I was like, listen to our podcast.
That's true. Leave us a five-star review.
Five-star review. Yeah. And then get out.
That's an interesting aspect as well, is giving advice to the people around, the people that are coming out. I have my best friends. Her little brother, much younger brother, sort of showed some signs, shall we say, without wanting to stereotype.
Some qualities.
Of being possibly gay. And her mum came to me and actually said, what should I do? Like, what do I say to him?
I think that's really nice.
It is exciting. And I think that's also a nice thing to be able to give advice, having gone through the experience to a loved one who's actually on the other side of it. And my advice to her was, look, you can sort of encourage the conversation, but don't force it out of it.
You just got to be open to that kind of information, and
she was correct, and he did come out, and it was quite beautiful and wonderful, and they're all very close.
You've got to create the environment.
It's very much about creating a healthy, comfortable environment, I think. And letting them do it at their own pace, but knowing that they will have support when they do it.
Providing role models, I think. Or if your parents just check the browser history.
Oh, you God. Know, like,
you know, in a way.
It's like my brother and I, it was always kind of like a weird unspoken thing, but we just like knew about each other. And then I remember when when mum found a certain folder on the computer, and so I was like, well, it wasn't mine.
He threw you under the bus, girl.
Yeah, like a little bit.
Kyle's gay.
What?
Kyle, it's him.
But so my partner Duncan, his sister-in-law outed him in a way.
Really?
Yeah, which I think is, he told me a few times how it like really affected him because he was, I think, drunk one night and told like a group of his girlfriends, and she was there, it was one of them. And she ended up telling him, if you don't tell your brother, I will tell him.
Stop.
And I was like, that's such an unfair, horrible thing to do. But she has later apologized for it, and he's had discussions with her, and she's realized what a wrong thing that was to do. I think her perspective was that she was lying to her husband kind of thing about it. So
it's
she
not
thought,
her story.
I know, it's absolutely not. But like, they have resolved it.
Good.
But I know, I was like, it's a horrible thing to take away from somebody. I think, I'm not sure if you guys have seen online in the last few days, there's been this big news in the YouTube community, but there's Nikki Tutorials.
Nikki Tutorials has just come out.
Nikki Tutorials has just come out as transgender and having transitioned when she was very young.
I had no idea whatsoever.
And then it's something that she said. I watched her video and it was really nice. And like, I actually like got a bit misty. And I was like, this is really like coming from the heart. And she was just discussing how she wanted to talk about it to her fans and her YouTube community, but she wanted to do it on her own terms and at a later stage. But someone had forced her hand because someone's threatening to blackmail her with this information. So someone was like trying to blackmail her.
That's
so awful. She decided to take the power back and make this video and do it herself, which I thought was really nice and encouraging that she did it and has gotten such a strong thing to do, a horrible thing to do to have that over someone. It's that horrible pit feeling in your stomach. It's a horrible, gross thing.
What do y'all think about the role that media plays in outing? You know, we've all done the Google search.
I feel like that used to be so gay.
The Wikipedia.
And you're like, personal life. Where's personal life folder?
But I feel like there is a very blurry boundary with the media and celebrity sexuality.
With the media, do you think it used to be like magazines and tabloids? It used to be much more of a thing to be like, is he gay? Was he caught?
Tom and I, when we had media.
I feel like that used to be so much more of a topic, but trying to out people, like celebrities and things.
That'd be exciting anymore.
Yeah, no, people, well, everyone's gay. Everyone's gay.
Well, Shawn Mendes, we tried to out him like six episodes ago. So, like, it's still definitely very much a thing that happens.
Yeah, the media is an interesting one because there are certain Australian celebrities that I can think of, and I won't name them, but it's it's not hard to go to a bar in the city after a music theatre show and see certain people that perform regularly on television and on stage in the Australian entertainment industry hooking up with their partner or being there with their same-sex partner. Whilst there are reviewers that have just been at that live show. So what I'm saying is that there is well documented, well known people that are not publicly out and the media actually there's sort of this almost
Hugh
unspoken
Jackman.
Thing. No, not Hugh Jackman.
Why is it that the media decides not to?
It's a murky, tacky issue. There's probably legal implications behind it as well.
Do you think it's
I mean, you look at the Ian Thorpe situation, I guess, when he was going through legal action for defamation for accusations made against him before he'd publicly come out.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know what the real reason is, but and there's also, you know, awful stories of blackmail. There's, you know, the story about Peter Hitchener and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And then it also feeds into a really interesting territory of when there's a responsibility for the media to out people. Mm-hmm. A good example is Kevin Spacey, where it's now being argued that the media was well aware of things that he had done and accusations he'd made, but it wasn't talked about in the media because they didn't want to out him
about
the things he'd done to these guys. In order to tell the stories, they would have had to out him, and they didn't want to out him, so they didn't want to tell the stories.
Right. Mm. So in a way, he's protecting
he actually had protection
because it would have been
because of his sexuality. Which is
that's
an interesting implication.
It for evil.
So there's sort of, is there in that case a responsibility for the media to then, which I don't know the answer to the question.
I think the issue is that journalistic integrity is now a subjective term.
Journalist is now a subjective
term.
I'm
that
a
whole
journalist.
Thing of like whose responsibility is to tell. It reminds me, I'm not sure if you guys saw in Canada, I think at schools people are pushing for the teachers to tell parents, like out their kids if they join any kind of queer groups and stuff in their school.
So they've put it under like a blanket term of like, if you've joined a group, we need to tell the parents what group you're involved in.
That's
it is aimed towards LGBTQ.
I mean, that's like when
people are not going to join these groups.
In year 12, when they wrote a letter to my parents.
I feel like that's definitely not creating a safe space for these kids, and they're not going to go there if they're just going to be immediately counted to their parents.
On a side note on that one, just kind of a bit of a tangent, to be more specific about what's happening in the candidate situation. So it's in Alberta, and there's this program called GSA, which is the Gay Straight Alliance.
Yes.
And so it's sort of viewed by the extreme right in Canada, or at least in Alberta, in the same way that Safe Schools was viewed here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same program. It's a group that schools can elect to start up where gay and straight kids can get together and work out how to make the school more tolerable, I guess, for LGBTI kids at the school. So the extreme right is sort of seeing that as a good target, a good thing to attack. Mm-hmm. So they're coming up with this policy to get rid of these groups of saying, if your kid's going to join a group, you should have the right to know, and the school should be forced to tell you that you're to try and, because then gay kids won't join the group and straight kids won't join the group. So they're
sabotaging.
Yeah, exactly.
It's bastards.
Wow. Yeah, which is again, it's forcing them, basically force outing them to their parents.
Not a nice thing to do.
Like, I remember in school, one of my really, really close friends, she was like, we went through school like 4 years together and her older brother was gay. Mm. And like when he officially came out to like his close friends, he didn't want to tell his family whatsoever. Mm. But his school bullies had found out that he officially came out. And so they went out of their way to tell his dad. Mm. And his dad is hugely homophobic.
Oh, God.
And that was like probably 6 months before I had come out, and I was
like,
just
this is
gonna
be great.
Shit. Like, this could be my reality. Like, this is like really, really fucking scary. Like,
that's
like
what I wanted to ask you, Mikey.
Yeah.
Because as a fellow brown brother, you know, our cultural experiences are quite different to the other members of the panel.
Yeah.
And for me personally, distinguished
the other side eye members of the panel. My God.
Distinguished panel.
Wow.
But for me and my own personal experience, like, I'm totally at peace with certain members of my Filipino family not knowing
or ever knowing that I'm a homosexual. So if we do a Filipino live show, that's
are they deaf and blind?
be a real problem. Yeah. Thanks, Kyle. But culturally, for me and for a lot of my mixed race and Asian friends, that's the norm.
The norm.
That's the norm to be like, I'm out to my friends, my direct family.
Yeah, that's it.
But my aunties, uncles, they and etc. They don't know because the Asian culture is there's such high family standards and judgments passed. Yeah, it's just like
that's it.
I can promise you that Catholic white boy rural culture is no more acceptable than Filipino.
Oh my gosh,
there are definitely people in my family that cut off my section of the. So mum's from a very large family and dad's from a very large family who completely cut off our section of the family when I came out, and mum was specifically told that it was her fault that by one of dad's family members that I was gay. And this is what's great about this conversation is for you, you're happy for them not to know. For me, it became a thing. No, I want them to know, and I don't. And I, for me personally, they can be aggressive towards us. They can cut us out of family stuff, and they can, you know, send disgusting messages and emails to us. Mm. But I would rather be for me. I would rather be out and have them be aggressive towards us because that's more comfortable for me. But that's why it's everybody's personal decision. That's I guess it is to.
For me personally, like. I knew growing up that my older brother and sister, they are the oldest two of the family, were not about gay people whatsoever. Mm. Like, throwing out racial, I mean, homophobic slurs all the damn time. And I also have, like, aunts and uncles that are Jehovah's Witness as well. And so, like, being such a young person, I was just like, well, I don't want to not see my aunts and uncles. Mm. Like, luckily, my older brother was completely fine with it. He was just like, we know, it's all good. Mm. My older sister, on the other hand, was like, I don't want you near my kids. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Terrific.
Yeah. And then I said to my parents, I was just like, please don't tell my aunt and my uncle. Like, I'm not ready for that just yet. Yeah. Like, it's bad enough from my direct sibling, let alone not being invited to any family events because they don't want me there.
Mm. I was just going to say, it reminded me of... when my brother came out, my mum, I guess, outed him to my nonna. And but she was just like, oh, and then she explained it to her. And my nonna was like, oh, good, good. Gay people, very successful. Oh, and that was like such a wholesome, like, I was like, oh, that's lovely. So nice.
Double income.
Yeah. Oh, great. Fantastic.
I remember having a very like frank discussion with my father when I came out.
Yeah.
We made the joint decision that there were certain members of my extended family that did not need to know. Like my auntie is a nun that I have very little contact with, that he was just like this, like I know it treads into don't ask, don't tell territory that isn't comfortable for a lot of people. But I think within a lot of Asian communities, that's so deeply ingrained in the Asian experience that we looked at each other and we went, I'm comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a compromise on my existence or my sense of self. Mm. I'm still happily sitting here on a show called The Faggots of Something or whatever. Like.
And that's a wrap. Come back, Lou.
There's a printer.
So... We had some heavy topics tonight.
Yes, we did.
Today, whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to stick around a little longer for our people who subscribe to our Patreon.
Just took a few little recent little tidbits. Yeah. Brush on some topics, I guess.
Yeah. Brush on some current events.
Yeah.
The moon phases of 2020. What to expect? What's coming up?
Oh my God. I downloaded CoStar. Does anyone else have CoStar? Oh, let's talk about that. Can that be a topic?
CoStar's told me I've been bad at sex for like the last 6 months.
I could have told you.
My co-star, I woke up in the morning
the back of the toilet door
and checked my co-star and it said, don't check your phone. I'm like, well, this is a fucking trap.
Love it.
So that's CoStar on the App Store.
So subscribe to our Patreon if you haven't. Yes, thank you to all the people who do. We'll see you next week. If not, love you.
See you at the live shows.
Yes, see you at the live shows. Don't forget to get tickets to those.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see you in Untucked.
In Untucked.
We'll see you in the interior. Interior Illusions Lounge. Yes.
Where we'll be sipping on some cocktails.
Absolute vodka.
Absolute vodka cocktails.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.